Those are some really good words. I love the cadets theme verse. I rejoice in your word, O God, as one who discovers treasure. Isn't that great? We've been teaching our boys this year, kids have been going through just confusing times, that God's word is like finding treasure because God's word is better than so many other things that we find ourselves spending time pursuing. Which is so great, because for most of this month, we're in a series looking at different Bible verses that really simply have the word better in them. It's not a complicated series, but I've adopted it from Greg Rochelle. You're hearing a lot of him today. I've learned so much from him. You'll see some links in the online bulletin if you want to chase that down. But I think God really had something to do with putting these words together for this week, because honestly, this is something I really need to hear this week. I've benefited from thinking about it, and so many things just going through my head have been answered by this. So I don't think I'm the only one, so let me just ask, how many of you right now have some decisions to make that are important to you? You don't have to raise your hand, because I'm just willing to make a bit of a leap. Everybody, all of you. Because no matter what season of life you're in, we all have decisions to make. Some of you are students right now, and you're trying to figure out where you want to go to college. Some of you are in college, and you're trying to figure out what to major in. And this year has just been so crazy. Do I need to rethink what my career path is? Now the right time to start looking for a job, some of you are having to deal with. Some of you are thinking about dating somebody. Should I date them or not? Or should I take this dating relationship to the next level? Or move on. And then if you're married, you've got things like where to live, where to buy, to rent, and you ask questions like, should we have kids now or later? And some of you have kids that you're trying to decide whether you can trade them in or not for better kids. You don't know what to do. Do I pay off the car first or the credit card? Do I stay home or do I go back to work? And it is a pandemic this year, so that adds about another 100 decisions to make. Do the kids go to school in person, or do we stay remote? And even if you don't have kids, like, is it safe to leave my house and do this activity? Is it safe to, come to church? Should I plan a summer vacation or not? Should I get the vaccine? Should our church plan a VBS this summer? I don't know. Can I get together with this group of friends for, a Super Bowl party, or is it just going to be Tom Brady winning another one? I really can't tell you. But the point is, every season of your life, at every stage, at every time of year, we've all got hundreds of decisions to make. And this is a really big deal, because every little decision you make affects everything else. And all the decisions I have to make are really complicated, and there's lots of decisions and outcomes and possibilities. I don't think it's just me, but just the sheer amount of options and uncertainty, for me, makes every decision seem a little bit more overwhelming than it should be. And I'm convinced that if we could figure out how to make wise decisions, it'd be sort of like a superpower right now. In fact, if you're taking notes right now, you could write this down. I think I put it in your bulletin. I can't figure out who said this, but someone said, we make our decisions, and our decisions make us. Actually, let's say that out loud. That helps you remember a little bit. If you're online in your kitchen or in this room, whatever, let's say it together. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. This reflects a lot of scripture. In other words, who you are today is a product of big and small decisions you made yesterday. This is really important, because what that means is who you become tomorrow is a very direct result of the decisions you may make today. And so what I want to do today, really simply, and this is a really incredibly important message, we're going to look at a better way to make decisions in order to honor our God and give him glory. And to begin, I just want to take you to a story from the Old Testament. You could look it up if you want, look at the details if you want. Maybe the most famous story about making decisions. It's a story about Solomon, who was anointed to be king. And I'm not going to tell you the story about the coronation and the sacrifices and the worship part. The important part of the story is what happens afterwards. God comes to Solomon, and this is amazing. God comes to Solomon and says, Solomon, what do you want? I'm going to give you anything you want. You name it, I'll give it to you. Imagine if that was you. Wouldn't that be great? If God said, what do you want? Name one thing. You got one wish. What do you want? I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? Now, if you were my kids, you'd say, I'd like more wishes. But it doesn't work like that. If you could have one thing, what would you ask for? Now, I know a lot of people would say, God, show me the money, right? Like, I want more resources. Some people would very quickly say, I want more power. I want more influence. You would never say it like that. You would say something like, I want to fix other people's problems, or I want to make the world a better place. God, I just need a little bit of money and power to do that. It sounds better. Or, I don't know, we've all got things we need. Maybe you've never been married, and you go, God, I just want one thing. I want a godly, wonderful, hot spouse. Or maybe you've never had kids, and you go, one thing, I just want a son or a daughter. I'd be so happy. Or maybe you have kids, and you're like, God, one thing, I want better behaved kids. that's okay. Or maybe some of you are battling cancer or some kind of illness, or you're watching someone you love go through a really difficult spot. And if God asked you for one thing, you might just say, God, really, if really all I want right now is to heal this person I love, or heal me. Or, I don't know, we have lots of prayer requests. Maybe your family is dysfunctional or broken or something, and you, God, the one thing I want is to fix this grandson or son or parent or whatever. Anyway, if God asks anything, would you like, I'll give it to you, what would you ask for? Now, it's fascinating. That's exactly what happens in our story. And in 2 Chronicles, I think it was 1:10, 7 through 10, it shows just amazing thing. What Solomon responds to that. You see the verse, right? God says, Solomon, ask whatever you want me to give you, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon says, see the verse? Everybody help me out here. He says, give me what? Wisdom. And I'll read the rest of the verse. And knowledge that I may lead these people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? In other words, God tells Solomon, I will give you anything you want. And Solomon says, give me wisdom and knowledge. And God, you know, I'm not going to read the story for you, but God seems pleased with Solomon's response. He says, Solomon, you could have asked for anything. You could have asked for money or wisdom or fame. You could have asked me to wipe out all your enemies. That'd be good for you, I guess. But you asked for wisdom, God says. So not only will I give you wisdom, but God says, I'm going to give you everything else you want as well. And Solomon goes on to write and say more about wisdom than any other decision maker in Scripture. He writes a lot of Proverbs. He writes a lot of Psalms. In fact, there's a good chance that he wrote the theme verse of the cadets this year, which would fit. Because over and over again, Solomon says, wisdom is better. Now, we are memorizing a verse again this week, and before we look at it, I just want to reference some other things Solomon says. Solomon says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, which is a big deal. If you're a king in the ancient Near East, and a time when the best weapons win, Solomon says, wisdom is better than weapons. Or another time, Solomon says, wisdom is better than strength. Our memory verse for today, though, is Proverbs 15:16. I'm just going to read it, put it on the screen. It's next thing, I think. I'm going to ask you to say it with me, Proverbs 16:16, in a second. How much, what? Better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding than silver. This is a really big deal. He says, how much, I'll say this, when he says, how much better than wisdom than gold? Like, Solomon basically goes, what is the most valuable, number one desired commodity in the entire world? It's gold. And he says, wisdom is better than that. In the ancient Near East, gold was power, it was influence, it was affluence. Solomon says, how much better is it to get wisdom than what everybody else pursues? And then he takes the second most desired commodity, silver, and says, it's better to have understanding than silver. Let's just say this out loud. You can look at the screen, that's okay, but let's say it out loud together. Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding than silver. Now, here's the deal. What you need to know about this, like especially if you're younger, this is so true. In fact, it's hard to overestimate how valuable the decision and knowledge to make decision is. You can ask anybody my age or older what they could do, what they would do if they could go back and change some of the decisions that we've made in the past. If you talk to folks, here's what you'll hear over and over again. If I knew then what I know now, I would have made different decisions, right? Which says if you know things now that allow you to make wise decisions now that are wise from the heart of God instead of foolish, the thing that happens in your life over the course of days and months and years, it has a massive impact on your life. You could change from having someone with a mistake-impacted life to someone that's wise, who can make an impact on generations. Wisdom is better than anything else, which is like big as it sounds. This is honestly, this is probably one of the least controversial statements in the Bible. Everybody believes this. Knowledge is power, of course. Knowledge is resources. I mean, think about, it's 2021. Think about how every decision, wise or foolish, I mean, just isolate it all down to like the decisions made by people in power about COVID-19. Think about how many people were affected by this. The economies, the jobs, the lives lost or saved. Like we've seen firsthand the decisions made with astronomical significance. And only time will tell if people were right or wrong, wise or foolish. But what no one disputes is the consequences. I mean, there's a gold, but trillions and trillions of dollars in the last year would be the price tag to know how to navigate this pandemic. Not really controversial. And maybe someday we'll know what wise decisions would look like. But, I'm really slow at math, so I'm still calculating this, but just trying to calculate the amount of money that it would be if you knew what to do with the pandemic, it'd be more gold than you could carry. It's a low-end estimate. But I'll tell you right now, the ability to make decisions just for you is more valuable than gold. What you need right now more than anything else everywhere you look is gold, is wisdom. What do you need right now? You may be struggling with your marriage. What do you need? You need relational wisdom. You might have trouble with your finances, having trouble paying the bills or balancing things. What do you need? Financial wisdom. You might need wisdom about who to get married to. If you get vaccinated, how to parent, what schools look like. Everybody right now, maybe more than anything else, you need wisdom. You've got teenagers. You need wisdom. You've got people you care about who are going off and doing harmful things. You need wisdom. You need wisdom to know what to say and what to do and when to say and when to do things. I could keep painting the story, but we all desperately need wisdom. But here's what Solomon says, and I love it because it's so specific. Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is this. In other words, if you want to be wise, well, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, Solomon says, get understanding. Do you want to make wise decisions? Do you want to make a difference in this world? Do you want to do more with your life than take up space and accumulate stuff? Do you want to make an impact on the world? get wisdom. And here's what I love about this. It's gettable. It's not like Solomon says, the beginning of wisdom is this, too bad you're not a king in the Bible, right? It's not what he says. He says, get it. This is, another line here, whatever it costs you, if it costs your time or effort, whatever, get wisdom now because it will change your life. When you read a lot of Solomon, one of the things he does really well is he defines wisdom by contrasting wisdom with foolishness. And one of the ways he talks about foolishness is by, talking about fools. Here's like the negative side of wisdom. If you make decisions, I'll just say you can't avoid making decisions. You all have to make decisions. The way to start is by trying to avoid making dumb decisions. It's not complicated, right? If wisdom is valuable and rare like gold, what that just tells you is that most people, it's really common to be foolish. In fact, people who make foolish decisions, this is a weird part about it, it's an asymptomatic condition. The most foolish people you'll ever meet are people who have no idea. Like, you won't find foolish people say, hey, I tend to make really bad decisions, don't ask me, right? That's not foolish people. Foolish people say, I'm actually smarter than everybody else. I'm not going to listen to anybody else. I know exactly what I'm doing. And the scary part of that is it means that maybe if you're the one going, I'm smarter than everybody else, I don't need to listen to anybody else, you might be the one who's foolish in that moment. So let me just give you some diagnosis questions. How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you have ever acted before you think? You don't have to raise your hands. Some of you raise your hands without thinking. But look, we do this sometimes, right? We act, we react, we text back, we post without really thinking about it. We all do this. How many of you, here's the next one, a little embarrassing, but I think everyone I know does this. How many of us have occasionally hurt people we love and regret it? Lots of nods, but here's another one. How many of you spend too much? We don't save enough, we manage poorly. You know, I don't know about people in this room, I haven't given any surveys here, but the statistics say that most people in America, they don't spend everything that they earn. They actually spend a little bit more than they earn, and they wonder why they've got some problems. I got another one. How many of you are sometimes full of pride? And specifically, that looks like being really hesitant to ask for help. Because asking for help admits that you can't fix it yourself. How many of you do things you know you shouldn't? Now look, listen. If you do any of these things, by definition, and we'll see why, you just got labeled by the Bible as foolish. Which means what you need is wisdom. I'm not making this up. Let me give you a couple verses. Maybe this is how Solomon defines wisdom. This is the next verse, Proverbs 13:16. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't. What a fun way of saying this. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't. When you act before you think, guess what you are. Here's the next verse. Fools spend all they got. Here's a verse. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. What's a foolish man do? The foolish man devours all that he has. Everything he has, he spends it, he eats it, he uses it. He doesn't store anything for later. He doesn't have anything to be generous with. He devours it. He spends it. He devours it all, Solomon says. And you might be like, but everybody does it. Maybe everybody is a fool. Fools, next verse, hurt those they love. This is Proverbs 14, verse 1. Think about this. I had to think about this for more than I'm going to talk about it. A wise woman builds her house. But with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. This is tricky. Here's what I've learned. Demolition is easier than construction. Building up people, communities, families is hard. It's hard to make people better. It takes a lot of wisdom to influence the people you love to act in a God-honoring, wise way. It is an exceptional, hard-working man or woman where you talk to them, and I'm privileged to know some of these folks, where you walk away from them and go, I just got built up. Our community is getting built up. Our family is better because of this conversation. That's really hard. Do you know what's really, really easy? Demolition, tearing people down. It's really, really easy to tear people down, criticize them, make them feel smaller, and that's what most people do. And Proverbs says that that's foolish. She nags them. She controls them. He is domineering. He's angry. The foolish one tears their house down, hurting those they love. Last one. Fools think they know it all. They don't ask for help. I am sometimes in this category. I am too proud to ask for help. I am too proud to admit that. I'm just going to read it without, this isn't a confessional really. Proverbs 12:15, fools think their own way is right. What do wise people do? Wise listen to others. I'm just going to let this one hang here. You may not want to admit this sometimes, but Scripture says there's a better way. Scripture says what? Someone help me, right? Proverbs 16:16, how much better to what? Get wisdom than gold, say it, to choose understanding rather than silver. Like, wisdom is the most valuable thing you could get. Get understanding, because if you get wisdom, it changes not just today, but it changes the trajectory of your life, and over the decades, you can impact more people. You can make decisions not just based on the pros and cons or the wisdom of whatever's floating around today, but God gives wisdom. And a lot of you maybe at this point going, well, this sounds great, but how do I get this? I want to get it. And here's sort of the good news. The Bible is so clear. It's sort of scarily direct. Let me just give you three more verses from Solomon. This will tell you how to get wisdom. Now, the first thing, before anything else, is that it starts off with, maybe in a place not everyone would guess. But the Bible says Proverbs starts with knowing God. Help me out here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. That's how you start being wise. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To know God, to respect God, is to be wise. And to be clear, fear in this context doesn't mean being afraid of being harmed or being afraid and distance. This is a fear of reverence. In this case, fear means having a high view of God himself. Or I'll put it this way. What are we most afraid of when we make decisions? Most people were afraid of rejection. We're afraid of failure. What if I try it and it doesn't work? What we should do is we should live every day in this awe and holy reverence and fear for God, which means we start to see who our God is and how big and grand he is. We start to think about how God is sovereign and faithful and in control and all the things that we sang about God. And what happens is when you start making a big deal about God, it changes every decision you make. Like these are the facts. There's no one like our God. He's so holy, and if you could even just for an instant see how big God is all of a sudden you wouldn't give a rip about what anybody else thinks about you. You would just be consumed with one thought, I need to do what God wants me to do. God all of a sudden is the biggest, most important thing in the universe. Like he always is, but only sometimes we see it. Then we go, how do I act in a way that reflects that? Proverbs says that is the beginning of wisdom. Because all of a sudden, the decisions that you start to make, there's a weight to it. Because you start asking, you notice God is there. So you have to ask, how does this choice glorify God? How does this choice, whatever it looks like, lead me to be more like his son, Jesus? All of that starts with the fear of the Lord and knowing the Holy One. That's the first thing. The second thing Scripture says, I love this verse. If you want wisdom, God says, ask for it. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It couldn't be much more direct than James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, what should you do? If you're not sure how to navigate choices, what do? Scripture says he should ask God. What does God do? Does God go, you're not that special? You're not really that important? No. God, it says, gives generously to all without finding fault. Ask and it will be given to him. God, what do I say to this person? God, I just need your direction right now. God, this is so complicated. Help me decide. God, I really care about this person. Should I call them? Should I text them? I don't even know what to say. God, should I do this thing? Is this you telling me to do something? Because God, I just don't know what to do right now. Over and over again. Here's what you do. You fear the Lord. You live in the reality that you can make decisions to please God, and you ask God. That's the second thing. The third thing, if you want wisdom, if you want to be wise, hang out with wise people. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows what? Tell me. Wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. If you want to be wise, check out who you're walking with, who you're hanging out with. If you want to be an idiot, hang out with fools. Bad company corrupts good character, Scripture says. You run with a bunch of knuckleheads, you become a knucklehead. Like that's just how it goes. That's what Scripture says. Do you want to be wise? Spend time with wise people. Hang out with people who are wise. I'm not saying get rid of all your friends. Well, maybe not the worst idea sometimes. But what I am saying is that you need to commit to spend time and pursue people who are wise, which is one reason why we as a church work so hard at, and we got some challenges ahead of us, but it's why we work so hard at gathering in person or virtually. It's why building relationships with other Christians matter. Because the fact is, we need people in our lives who we could talk to about life and about little stuff and about big stuff, who are fearing the Lord and acting for wisdom and making decisions that honor our God. How much better is wisdom than gold? To choose understanding than silver. So Father in heaven, right now, I just feel the weight of all the decisions that all of us are wrestling with. Father, we face challenges and uncertainty and situations that move very quickly and changes that can potentially frighten us. So, Father, I pray that you would convict us of ways that we act foolishly, decisions that we make without giving you the priority. And Father, we're about to sing a song about our God, and I pray that really specifically as we think about who you are, that you would just overwhelm us with a respect for who you are. And may that fact influence our decisions. May you give us wisdom, and may we walk with those who are wise. Father, I pray that you'd help us right now. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is called Wisdom. Amen.